It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Wasn't the first mistake I've made, Limits, and it wasn't the last.
That was really a funny moment that I love coming back to.
Yeah.
It's a good open.
You know what I enjoy is stale candy canes. Do you?
No, not stale ones.
There's something poetic about it, and they still taste good, I think. It's a way to hang on to Christmas. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
My aunt
it's
makes this
way
great...
to hang on to Christmas.
She makes this great, like, flavored rock candy, where you just kind of have it dissolve in your mouth. And I usually eat those well into June, because they just stay fresh, and they're still good.
Fresh and good.
Yeah.
So, we're going to bring on Nick in a moment. I have a personal... career situation that I'd like to address, and that's on the writing side of my career. The radio side hopefully still lasts for a long time. We'll see. Business is booming right now because of you and Bob. Things are going well. But on the writing side, after a decade or so at the Post Gazette, I'm going to be joining, you could say rejoining, Trib Live. And I'm very excited about that, Limits. Your mic is off right now. I can't wait to get started, restarted. I think my first column there, which is actually probably like my 500th column there, if you include, how long was I at the Trib? 20 years? That's where everything began to happen for me. That's where I started to cover the Penguins in 1997 when I was a savvy young news hound. I believe will be Saturday. I think that's when it's going to be running. I hope that you'll be reading. I know so many people over at the Trib already, including Jen Bertetto, the CEO, whom I covered in softball when she was Jennifer Wolf for Leechburg Limits. I think I may have even tried to hit off her for a story once and couldn't do it. Of course, there's Gormie the Owl. There's Benzie from the Top Rope at the Tomlin News Conference. There's Chris Adamski. And there's my old friend, Jonathan Bumboli, who I've known since that time. He used to be the beat writer for Wilkes-Barre. I was the beat writer for the Penguins, and they used to train in Wilkes-Barre. And immediately we hit it off. Very cynical and funny man. So maybe I'll be doing some stuff with him. He's a big-time editor now. But maybe I can convince him to do some fun things. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe point, counterpoint, maybe just some ridiculous stuff on Facebook. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll see. But I'm really excited to get started there. And I hope that you read my stuff out there over at Trib Live. And also the time at the Post Gazette was great. Stan Wichnowski, the executive editor, Ryan Wynn, the sports editor. We did, I thought, some great work together. And I have a lot of respect for the people there. Obviously, all the writers that you hear on the station here, the Badconian Mongoose. We could start with him and Ray Fittipaldo. Love those guys, and I can't wait to get started at Trib Live. So that's my bit of news, Limits. Reaction?
That's awesome, Joe, and you held it for me as well. I said, Joe, I think you're going to talk about this, and you were like, yes, I am, and then you did a 180 and talked about something else. So I'm really happy for you.
Thanks,
know how
buddy.
Much you love writing and how much I love reading your columns, so that's going to be really cool to be able to see that again for the Trib. And people on the text line are also flooding in a lot of congratulations to you and a lot of people saying that they would have been very sad if you were announcing that you were leaving the station. So it's good to hear that the writing will continue.
I didn't mean to tease that out there, but
you kind of
I'm sure some would have been happy. Believe me, a lot would have been happy too. But it sounds trivial. Like we're going to celebrate the Marconi Award that we won on Wednesday night, which is the equivalent to literally the Academy Award for radio. It's not just sports stations. It's any sports station. We're going to celebrate that as a staff on Wednesday night. Obviously, that doesn't happen if people aren't listening. And the same goes with writing. That if there's no readers, then there's no writing, correct?
Right.
That seems rather obvious. And it's so interesting to me after all these years, and I started way back when as a stringer for the Post-Gazette in 92, and I apologize, Nick, we'll be with you in one moment. All these years later, through all these different iterations at the Valley News, the Trib, the Post-Gazette, back at the Trib, people will just come up and start talking. I got accosted in a good way at a Steeler tailgate party last night. I had parked to go over and talk to some people at the Post-Gazette. And people, Starkey, you know, they come over and talk, and it's fun. It's just, it's such, I can't believe that all this has happened, is what I'm trying to say. You know, my dad passed away in September. And it was all those years ago, growing up in Buffalo, that I fell in love with the Pirates because we didn't have a baseball team. Fell in love with the 71 Pirates, RIP to Dave Justy, and the 79 Pirates. I worshiped them. And my dad took me on a pilgrimage here in 79 to see my beloved Pirates. And then in November of 1989, my dad took me to Pittsburgh to go to Duquesne Graduate School. We stopped off at the Cathedral of Learning. He was enthralled with that. He was a professor of European history, all the rooms over there. So I'm thinking about all of that and how everything has happened for me in this amazing city. So I'm just thinking about that, Limits. I apologize.
That's great, man. No, savor it in.
And the connection. So the point is there, the connection with people here. It's really cool.
No doubt.
There was a guy, and I won't say who he is because he could get in trouble. There was no parking at 5:30 last night.
No.
And I wish I remembered this guy. Well, even if I remembered his name, it would be bad to say it. But he was from Mount Washington. He was a parking attendant, grew up there. I said, listen, there's no place else to park, and I have to do something very important here. He's like, pull over here, Starkey. Put on your flashers. So I did. And that's a beautiful thing.
You should have joined us at our tailgate.
I didn't even need a chair to reserve my parking spot, like I'm sure they do on Mount Washington.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because at the tailgate that I was at yesterday, a very frequent one that I go to for games, the amount of people that come. I met somebody from Germany yesterday, Joe.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Flies in. He came in for 4 Steeler games this year.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, 93.7 The Fan. I know you guys.
That was incredible. Really cool. All right, Nick, I apologize for all of that, but I made it a point. I wanted to do that at 11. We probably should have waited. This is horrifying, actually. I apologize. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Well, I'm good, but the Steelers aren't so good, and that's why we have you on. Nick from PennLive.com. What happened here? What happened to these Steelers?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to two things. And I think obviously the offensive performance is the reason that they lost. I think that's the chief reason they lost this football game. When you don't have a passing attack, a semblance of a passing attack at all, you are easily stopped in the run game. There's just nothing you can do. They ran into a buzzsaw of a defense. I think this Texans defense has a shot to take them all the way to the Super Bowl. I think they're that good. And we'll see what they can do. But the Steelers, I think, just looked out of sorts in every way. The receivers weren't open. The offensive line got dominated. Skill players couldn't make things happen. Rodgers looked skittish in the pocket. Everything looked bad. Arthur Smith called a poor game. They didn't utilize their personnel correctly. All of it. It all fell down. There's a big talent differential on those two units, and you saw it play out. Defensively, I mean, listen, they held up much better than they have in previous playoff games that they've gotten into. Three turnovers should have given them a shot, right? When you get 3 points off three turnovers, that is going to really put a damper on everything.
I know, but then they fell apart like the Bills in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. But when you look at the Steelers' defense, I think the two things that stick out are they played man-to-man heavy coverage for some reason. I don't know why. That C.J. Stroud has killed man-to-man coverage all season long, but the Steelers thought that would be a good idea, and as such, the Texans went 10 of 15 on third down. And I think that's really the story of this game in that regard, is they were able to continue drives, get points, and really bleed out the Steelers' defense, wear them down, despite the Steelers' defense doing a nice job to create turnovers. They got worn down over the game, and then you saw the rushing attack actually start to come alive, which is something the Texans have not done well all year, but the Steelers allowed a lot of runs, a lot of good runs. I think their rushing success rate was like 60%. I think their season average was 35. That's a stark difference. So I think really those are the things you look at with this is what happened. And so the Steelers were just outgunned on offense badly, and it bled over into the defense as the game wore on.
Yeah, man, they made, by the end, Woody Marks look like Walter Payton. I mean, that was the best game of his career. So where do we go from here? Let's start with the head coach. This has only gotten worse. It's only gotten uglier. And everybody's going to be, you know, on edge starting next season. I think this has come to a very natural ending that doesn't have to really hurt anybody. I think everybody can move on and lead happy lives elsewhere. Your thoughts?
I mean, I agree. I don't really know what the argument to bring him back is. You're just going to eventually, I think, end up in the same spot again. Listen, Mike Tomlin's a good coach. I'll hold that in there. He has taken some really poor rosters over the last few years to the playoffs, but there's obvious limitations in his game. He has a ton of limitations. From a roster-building perspective, you know, he's obviously has a big say in that as well. And, you know, he shoulders part of the blame for why they don't have a quarterback and some of these other moves that they made. I think it has drawn to its natural conclusion. You know, even if they fired both coordinators, he hasn't been good at hiring his assistants over the past few years. They've changed multiple coordinators on both sides of the ball. They've changed general managers. They flipped over the roster two or three times over this stretch. He's been the one constant. He's going to give you a high floor. He's going to get you into the playoffs. And when you get there, he's not going to do all that much. And so, to me, for Mike Tomlin, if I were Mike Tomlin, I think there's a real natural point for him, too, where, okay, I can go to TV for a year, make sure. Lord knows how much on CBS, and then come back in 27. I think Mike Tomlin can go the Mike Vrabel route, which is take a year off, look at the league, study what's going on, revamp what I do, revamp my process, look at my assistants that I would want to hire, put all your ducks in a row, and then when 2027 hiring cycle comes around, you're the top candidate on the market, and you get to choose wherever you want to go, to whatever roster, and you feel like you're reinvigorated. And that's, I think, for Mike Tomlin personally, what he needs. For the Steelers, I just think it's insanity to keep running it back. So I agree with you. I think this has reached its natural end point, but I don't think they're going to fire Mike. I don't think that's going to be something that happens. I think if he's not here next year, I think it's going to be because he walked away.
Yeah, what about a trade? Here's where I think Tomlin would really enjoy himself and be perfect for, and that is the Raiders. He just sort of has that persona that fits the Raiders, and they have the first pick, and you can make all your own calls, and like you said, bring in your own staff. I just think that would be ideal for him. You?
Yeah, I could see it because, you know, I guess it would depend on how much he believes in Mendoza and Moore, but if you don't go somewhere where there's an established quarterback, I think that is a good spot for him. He would be able to kind of mold that franchise as he sees fit.
Yeah.
I can also just see, Baltimore, I know that's a funny one, but Lamar Jackson.
Oh, my God. Wait a second, Limits. We haven't talked about Baltimore yet.
Right? Like,
could you imagine if they just traded coaches? John Harbaugh comes here and Mike Tomlin goes to Baltimore.
It's too late. They fired Harbaugh.
Well, but yeah, but it's like trading places.
Yeah.
Ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
What's up? It's Draymond Green back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It would be hilarious to me, but yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking from Mike's perspective, you know, established quarterback, that's kind of the crown jewel of this coaching cycle. I think he'd be interested there. I don't know what he thinks about Jackson Dart, but the Giants job, I think, would be interesting to him.
He should ask me. I could give Jackson Dart the highest of recommendations.
Well, if you know, Mike thinks that, I think New York is another one for him. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that would be the way you would look at it. Now, a trade, would he waive his no trade clause? I think that's the question, because he does have one in his contract.
He does.
But that's going to be the big question there. And for the Steelers, if they don't fire him, do they want to trade him? That's the other thing, right? They may not want him to keep. I think they want him to be their coach. Like, I think that's the thing with the Steelers is I just don't know if a trade's going to happen. I think it's probably pretty unrealistic. I think if this ends up happening, the trade scenario, there's got to be a lot of things that happen for it to fall like that.
That just seems like.
My best guess is.
Go ahead.
My best guess is, Joe, if he's not here next year, what's going to happen is he's going to take a TV job for a year, deuce out after 26 from that TV job and come back in 2027 as a new head coach. That's my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the trade thing, if somebody approached you like in your current job and said, hey, just gauging on whether you'd be open to us getting rid of you via trade. I mean, isn't that kind of a strong message that they don't want you anymore? And then for Tomlin, if he could pick his, you know, whatever, if he liked the destination, the team that was calling, maybe that would be great. I still think they should have taken that call from Chicago last year myself. You get Caleb Williams. Now, I don't know if he develops under Mike Tomlin and whoever Tomlin brought in the way he has under Ben Johnson. I severely doubt it. But that would have been an interesting move. And plus, the Steelers would get a premium draft pick, seemingly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big thing. The Steelers could get a high-level draft pick for Mike Tomlin. There's no doubt about it. His stock in the league is still sky high. Their franchises, like the Raiders, for example, who have just had playoff futility and the fact that they don't make the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
It's been a dysfunctional org where Mike Tomlin's culture building and establishing a brand of success really sits well there. That's a team that needs a strong culture builder to give structure to an organization, to bring that organization to relevance. Mike Tomlin can do that. He can build you from the ground up. He can start a wave of success. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what they would get. I mean, Sean Payton, I believe, got traded for what, a second round pick?
Yeah.
So that's probably the floor for that trade. Could you get a first from a team, you know, that's maybe in the middle of the first round? I wouldn't be stunned if that was something you could get. So, I mean, that would be the type of move you would make. The one way that move happens is the Steelers go to Tomlin and are like, hey, we're not going to pick up your option. You're going to be on a one-year lame duck deal, but we're not going to extend you. I don't think Mike Tomlin would want to coach on a one-year lame duck contract.
Yeah, that's a good point. So really the question is then, Nick, does Art have the guts to tell Mike you're not getting that extension or that contract year triggered? Because you're right, that could set this chain of events in motion, right?
Right. I think that's the one way. Like, that's the trade scenario, I think, is, you know, they turn down the option. Mike doesn't want to go to TV, but the Steelers obviously maybe are questioning if he's their coach or should be. I think if you decline the option, Art Rooney would maybe say, hey, we want to give you one more chance to showcase it. But I think Mike would rather just say, hey, get me somewhere else. And you could trade him in that respect. And I think that's how the trade scenario plays out if that happens. But I think there's got to be a very rigid set of loops to get there.
Yeah.
So I do think the Steelers have to think about that. Art Rooney has to think about if you want to pick up that option. Because I think at this point, even for Art Rooney and how patient the Steelers are, that has to be a legit consideration. It has to be.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking along those lines, but you're exactly right. I mean, that would be the best way, maybe. I mean, if I'm Art, I walk down the hallway today and say that this is over. But if he wants to sort of set events in motion in a way where it looks like it's not a firing, let's put it that way, that might be the best way to do it, is to approach Mike and say, listen, we're not going to pick up that option. You're going to go into your final year next year and see how Mike would react to that. But what about the quarterback? How would you rate Rodgers for this season? How could it possibly be a good idea to bring him back for next season? And I'm not saying he played badly. Don't get me wrong there. I thought he played better than I expected. I thought he served the city and the team really well. But it doesn't really make sense at this point to bring him back for a team that I don't think can win a Super Bowl next year. And I always think, Nick, that it's better to part ways a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah, I mean, the idea to bring him back would be, you know what, you're going to get a wide receiver too. You're going to invest in the wide receiver position. And, hey, maybe he's even better this year. But I don't see that being a realistic argument for a few reasons. As you mentioned, how is he going to look even 1 year older? He was already scared of pressure, and any time the Steelers faced a decent pass rush, he wilted. That was always a key thing when we watched Rodgers this year. He was a guy that just wilted in the face of pressure. He didn't want to get hit. And when he wilts in pressure, the entire offense fell apart and his entire game fell apart. He was much better than I thought he would be, honestly. I thought this would not go well when they signed him. But it did go better than he thought. You know, the high football IQ, the arm is still there. There were a few wow moments. He still has the clutch gene. I think he helped culture build for some of the young guys, like the young offensive line, Darnell Washington, some of these guys that the Steelers are going to have around. They got a winning pedigree in that locker room. So I think that helped for a year of culture building. I just don't really understand why you would bring him back. What is it doing? You know, where are you going here? Does he get you closer to winning a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Is he going to block you? You know, if, for example, they somehow get a young quarterback, which looks less likely by the time this year because this class just isn't as good as people thought, he's going to block that guy from playing. I think that's something you don't want to see. And you don't want to bench Aaron. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come there. The free agency class is really bad. I think that might be the one argument you could make. There's not a lot of names out here in this class. There's Malik Willis. There's Kirk Cousins. There's Daniel Jones coming off his Achilles tear. Just not a lot of names that are really inspiring. Now, there will be more added to that. I'm sure Justin Fields will be back on the market. I'm sure Tua will be on the market. I'm sure Kyler Murray will be on the market. So you can throw those names out if you need a starting quarterback. That's the only argument I could think about with Rodgers. But I honestly, you know, I'm leaning more towards him retiring and just calling it a career. I think he had a good season. He rehabbed his image, I think, after that Jets stint. And he can walk into the Hall of Fame tomorrow more than happy. But I don't really see the argument to bring him back. It's like you're spinning your wheels in motion rather than trying something new or trying something with upside for the future.
All right. How about a quick free association to end this thing? Are you ready,
sure.
Nick?
Let's do it.
Do you... Well, how do I phrase that with DK Metcalf? What's the best way to phrase that question? I guess, first of all, do you bring back DK Metcalf? Do you sort of have to financially?
Yeah, you have to.
But isn't there an out after next season?
Yeah, I believe there is an out after next season. But you got to bring him back this year. So another year of DK is going to happen no matter what, I think.
All right. Do you trade Pat Freiermuth if you're not going to use him?
If I were Pat Freiermuth, I'll say this. If I were Pat Freiermuth, I'd request a trade. But I wouldn't do it. I would release Jonnu Smith and then feature Pat, but I could see them potentially trading Pat Freiermuth if he's unhappy and they don't want to move off Jonnu Smith, although I don't know why they wouldn't move off Jonnu Smith.
Neither. They already did move off Jonnu Smith. They never, when he does get the ball, it's on a handoff or a tight end. What a joke that was. Two receptions for minus 1 yard. How about Broderick Jones? Would you pick up his fifth year option and will they?
I would not. I think Dylan Cook was better, and I think he should be the starter next year, honestly, but there's going to be a competition, and I'm expecting him not to because of Dylan Cook. And so I think there's going to be a starting competition at left tackle and training camp next year between Jones and Cook, and the best man may win.
Isaac Seumalo, who I think just now, there's a chalk outline of him on the turf from Acrisure Stadium last night. He's done, right?
My guess is he will probably leave. I don't know his desire to continue playing football. I think that Isaac is near the end of his career naturally. He might retire. But I do think the Steelers at least have to explore potentially bringing him back. But I think the price tag is going to be, geez, maybe over $10 million. I'm not sure I'd pay that. So look at free agency. Look at the draft for guards. It's a pretty good draft class for guards. So they could probably draft one.
There's no out on Jalen Ramsey. He'll be back next year, or is there an out?
There is an out. It's basically his contract goes through for the next few years, but it's basically synchronized 1 year deals where they can get out of. So he could be cut. I think his cap hits like $20 million next year. If he's playing safety like he has been, just I can't imagine him being worth that deal. I could see them getting out of that contract too, which, believe it or not, I mean, what a dud of a move if they release both Ramsey and Smith and Minka's still balling down in South Beach, huh?
Bring back Minka. Bring back Minka and Bobby Spillane. All right, Limits, why don't you finish Nick off with a final question?
Oh, dear. We have so many different avenues to go into. Nick, if you would have to guess right now, what is the biggest move that this team is going to make, whether it be personnel-wise, front office-wise, or coaching staff-wise?
Biggest move. I mean, I think they're going to make a few moves. I guess the biggest personnel move they'll make, I think they'll go finally get a legitimate wide receiver too this year. I think that will be probably the biggest splash move they make personnel-wise. I do not think Terrell Austin will be back. I think that will be one thing that they do for sure. They could make other reverberations on the staff. But I guess that would be, you know, in the immediate future, that's the one I can absolutely see that's pretty big, is I do not get the vibe that he will be back next year.
Nick, we appreciate everything you did for us this season. You're great at what you do, and hopefully we can work together again next year. I know Limits admires you and considers you a role model.
Thank you guys for having me on. I would love to anytime.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Man, he was a good addition to the club this year.
Very good.
Unlike Jonnu Smith, he was a good addition.
Jonnu Smith had like 220 yards receiving this year.
Why don't we talk about a couple of those issues next?
Studs and duds?
Well, you know what? We should probably talk about Rodgers next. We focus so much on Tomlin. Let's talk about Rodgers a little bit. Let's hear what he said last night and talk about his future coming up next on Pomp and Joe. Top of the hour, the Mongoose is locked and loaded. Am I right?
You're correct.
And then after that, man, we have report cards and futures and pasts and the head coach. I think Nick is right that maybe the best avenue here, if you don't want to do your job, if you're Art, is to tell Mike that you're not going to pick up that extension and see what happens from there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, now there's a story on Trib Live about me returning to my journalism roots there.
I'm reading it right now.
Can you read the last line about my family? I really enjoyed that.
It says, a native of Long Island, New York, Starkey grew up in Buffalo and endured four Bills losses in four consecutive Super Bowls, but only after moving to Pittsburgh in 1989 to attend graduate school at Duquesne University. He lives in Greentree with his wife, Susie, his daughter, Marianne, and a tiny dog named Bailey.
Bailey
made it.
The press that he deserves.
I'm glad. I love
right?
Bailey.
Yeah. You've met Bailey. He likes you, too.
I have multiple times. Great dog.
He's very trusting of the world. Again, on this morning's walk, he just walks up to random people from the Duquesne Light, somebody from a tree service, and just makes friends right away.
Muffin used to bark at people when like they would approach the door or saw a car coming down the driveway. But then as soon as somebody would enter the house, would immediately go up to them and try to, you know, embrace them.
Yeah.
Very nice of Muffin.
Shouldn't we all live our lives that way, Limits? Well, I guess not. You can't be too friendly at times, right?
Now she just doesn't bark at people when they walk into the door. She just goes up to them immediately, says hello, and then goes back to sleeping.
We always say if somebody, a stranger, tried to break into our house or something, that Bailey would be friends with them in like a minute. He pretends he's a watchdog and barks.
Yes.
But then as soon as somebody walks in, he thinks they may have food and wants to be friends right away.
Muffin is always on guard, but when it comes to protecting the household.
Not good.
I worry about her capabilities, yes.
Right. Not good. How about the future of the quarterback? Listen, I just had a horrifying thought here. I can open the show every year at this time and say it's time to move on to Tomlin. The horrifying thought I have after a brief discussion with Malzi is this. There's a better percentage chance that they run the whole damn thing back with the quarterback and the coach than there is not. Do you agree with that? There is a better percentage chance that both the quarter and the quarterback was pretty good this year. The coach was okay. But it just wound up in a worse spot than ever. It wound up in another ditch.
Crowley gave the coach an A for his performance in the regular season.
I think they might run the whole thing back.
Well, we've already seen reporting that they're interested in bringing the quarterback back. And Rodgers has been non-committal either way on retirement or coming back. He's kind of just left it out there in the open for what he might want to do. I would agree with Malzi. There's probably a higher likelihood that they keep the coach.
No. I didn't say Malzi said that. I just said that after a conversation with Malzi,
okay.
It struck me that that could very well be the case.
I would agree with you then, yes.
This is incrinculent. I mean,
let's talk about living in purgatory.
This is not incrinculent. It's the opposite of incrinculent. This is crazy, is what it is. Do we still have phone calls limits, or should we go to Aaron Rodgers? All right, let's get back to the phones then.
Your choice, Savvy Old News Hound.
Please.
Oh, and I see your tweets out there as well.
Yep.
I just gave it a retweet.
And Bailey's in the tweet as well.
Here is Gavin. He's in Morgantown.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up, man?
What's up? So I first just wanted to talk about the game before the quarterback day. I felt like they kind of gave up on their scheme last night.
On what? I can't.
I'm driving through the tunnel right now. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I didn't hear you.
I think they gave up on their scheme last night with Jalen Warren and Kenny Gainwell. They didn't get enough. They did not get the ball enough. I mean, you talk about Jonnu Smith, Pat Freiermuth. They both had what, like 300 receiving yards this year? That's supposed to be the scheme, correct? That's the one. This heavy package, this heavy set. Tonight it was an absolute fail. I was a fan of the scheme, and it was an absolute fail last night. And I kind of feel like they just stopped doing it, and that's kind of one of their issues. They kind of give up on their scheme. And it was disappointing. It was so disappointing. Now, for the quarterback situation, I agree. I think we're probably going to get the same thing. I don't really know how to feel about Will Howard. I think people say, like, give Will Howard a chance, get him in the game is pretty ridiculous. He's the third-string quarterback right now for a reason. I don't think that's going to work out, if I'm being completely honest. I think you'll probably see – I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to return, but I could put my money that Mike Tomlin will be the coach next year. And my question to you is, how much in the Steelers and the organization hiring outside the organization for a new OC or a new DC? Because I think that's a problem. I mean, the last outside hires they've had is Arthur Smith and, like, Ryan Flores, who they just put up in the booth. And it's like, come on.
I hear you.
My question to you is, how confident are you in the Steelers in hiring outside the organization?
Not very. I mean, that seems obvious at this point. It seems so far beyond obvious to move on from Tomlin. However that comes about. And if I'm Art, I initiate the conversation, which he won't, and I make a decision as the guy who's entrusted to run this franchise. And to me, it's an obvious, obvious decision at this point. This isn't getting better. It's getting worse. It was the worst home playoff loss in the history of the franchise. To the quarterback, as I said earlier, you know, he played better than I thought he would. He was pretty darn good in a lot of games, but it's always better to part ways a year too early than a year too late. And we saw, I think, last night in the Cleveland game, a couple of others, of what this could become. More to the point, do you really think you have a chance to win the Super Bowl next year? That to me, would be the only scenario in which you bring back Aaron Rodgers. And the Steelers belong more with the non-playoff teams and non-contenders than they do with anybody who has a right to believe they can win it all next season. It's just time. But Rodgers had a pretty good year. It's very hard to read whether he wants to be back. Do you have a couple clips from him? Limits?
Yeah, so it kind of struck me a couple of different things that Rodgers said. First off, just about how they were never in control of the game before we go into some of the big picture things.
I don't feel like we ever got the momentum on our side, honestly. We had a lot of chances. Defense played really good in the first half. And, they got a good defense. But we had a lot of opportunities. Didn't make the most of hardly any of them.
I completely disagree with his thought that they never had any momentum on their side. They forced three turnovers. One was inside the red zone. There was the Y.A. Black's interception or fumble, whatever you want to call it. They made significant defensive chunk plays where Tomlin preaches this turnover culture. And the offense just came out three and out. Stale-looking offense. No play calls down the field. I completely disagree with that assessment, Joe.
I think he might have meant offensively, but you're right. They did have chances. C.J. Stroud wanted to give them the game. He was begging to give them the game. After three quarters, it looked like a Tomlin win, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
That they were going to get outplayed, but the other team was going to screw it up. I was convinced of that, and it just never went that way. Let me say this, though, Limits, is that the Texans have a great, great defense.
Yeah, is that what the 85 Bears looked like 40 years ago?
I mean, it kind of reminds me, and I want to see a little more, because it looked like there were some plays for the Steelers to make that they simply didn't make. The Metcalf drop was gigantic. It reminds me of the Broncos with late-stage Peyton Manning, who couldn't play anymore. It reminds me of the 2000 Ravens with Trent Dilfer. And even to a certain degree, although this quarterback was on a higher level, the 85 Bears in a way. And I'm not saying this defense is on that level, but they're trending toward that. If they make a run and win the Super Bowl, then they will be mentioned like that. They just bring a different level of physicality. Kenny Gainwell was tossed around like he was a tiny little doll. I mean, it was crazy. They are just violent. They don't try to trick you like they said on the broadcast last night. They line up and they beat the living you-know-what out of everybody. I mean, that was an incredible performance, and they are great defensively. The question is whether they can overcome their quarterback.
Here is what Rodgers had to say about his future, or maybe the lack thereof.
No, I mean, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions. Disappointed, you know, obviously, such a fun year. You know, a lot of adversity, but a lot of fun. Been a great year, you know, overall in my life in the last year. And this is, you know, a really good part of that, coming here and being a part of this team. So it's disappointing to be sitting here with the season over.
Well, I can assure you, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, I can assure you the decision will be made quicker than it was last year. But then again, this is Art we're talking about. So I guess he'll just say to Aaron, you call me and tell me what you want. And to Mike, he'll say, you call me and tell me what you want to come back. Go ahead. You want the contract extension triggered? You just tell me if you want that. We'll do that. Would you like a new contract? Give me a call. You're more than welcome to a new contract, a lifetime contract, a piece of the team, ownership, anything you want. You call me, Mike. And Aaron, same thing. Just tell me what you want. So I don't know. I mean, in a sensible world, and if there were a real boss there, he would tell Aaron Rodgers, we got to know soon. Not tomorrow, but we got to make some decisions here. Just let us know.
Remember,
you know,
when they asked him right around the draft, how much longer can you wait for Aaron? And he said, a little while longer.
Yeah.
A little while longer now.
That's become the metaphor for the entire franchise. How much longer can you watch this? A little longer. A little longer. And that's just going to keep going. So, I mean, if I were Art, I would tell them both, it's time.
Yeah.
Because it is. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Here is one more from Rodgers. This is more on him and the idea of changing the head coach.
When you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time. But it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
Yes, it is, and you're wrong, basically. I've pointed out on several different occasions today that when he came into the league, there were all kinds of coaches who were having success or were about to have major success who would soon be fired. When you don't win in the playoffs, you don't win enough in the playoffs. You've always been under fire in the NFL, and you always will be, period. That's it. End of story. Andy Reid was in the league when Rodgers came in, having great success in Philly, would be fired. Tom Coughlin pushed out in New York. He would have great success. He was in the league then. Brian Billick was in the league then. Marvin Lewis having success in Cincinnati, he'd be fired. John Fox in Carolina was in the league when Aaron came in. He was fired. These guys have been around for 19 years. Mike Tomlin has the longest losing streak in the history of the NFL, playoff losing streak, with Marvin Lewis. He can't get it done. Do you need more evidence that he can no longer get it done in the playoffs? So what he said there was just flat wrong. Anyway, Mongoose next.
Could I give you a very quick 30-second theory?
Please.
I think that there is a better chance than we think that Aaron Rodgers plays next year. Because do you think somebody like Aaron Rodgers and the way that he analyzes things and thinks about things would take himself out of the game in a 30-6 matchup against the Texans, knowing that his final pass attempt in his NFL career was a pick six? I don't.
You know, if he doesn't, it's a lot, man. It's a lot to put your body through. And his body went through a lot this year. I think there's probably a 50-50 chance in his mind that he's coming back, maybe less.
I'm surprised he didn't go right back out there after the interception.
I hear
even
you.
It was just to throw a couple more passes or run the ball. That kind of struck me.
But he was asked about that. Why'd you come out? He said, because it was 30-6.
Right.
He did erase, I think, the Jets' memory and replaced it with a new one. And yes, the final game was ugly. The final games for a lot of great NFL quarterbacks was kind of ugly. But the final year wasn't really. He came back and proved he could play. And I think that may be enough for him. Mongoose, next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.